I hate to ask people to break up what they're doing, because what you're doing right now is such a good thing. So many happy faces, and we're seeing faces of members that have worshiped here in times past, and now they're back to visit and for our Family and Friends Day, and it's just a happy day for us. And so we want to welcome all of you here, and we want to get started in the spirit of worship as best we can. And I want to begin with one of my favorite passages from Revelation chapter 4. It's describing this wonderful scene of worship around the throne scene. And I want to begin in verse 8. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings and are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." It's hard to find in Scripture a worship scene that has more unbridled ecstasy than is in that scene that I've just read to you. And this is a worship that basically has no end, if I understand Revelation correctly. And you'll see glimpses of this worship scene at the throne all throughout Revelation. And there is a sense in which our entire lives are a worship to God. We will have a sense of a worship when we pray or meditate or go about doing good on Monday through Saturday. But then there are those special times when we just come together and the only thing we can focus on is how great our God is and how good he has been to us through his son Jesus. And so today we can be filled with the same kind of joy because we worship the same God. Let's worship.
Good morning and welcome. Let's all stand together as we sing our first song. We'll be singing four songs before we're led in prayer. If you're following in the book, it starts with 704 and goes through 711, so they're all in the 700s if you're using the book. But let's all sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us.
Yeah.
be seated. Next, we'll sing A Common Love.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common
. 709, how sweet, how heavenly. In prayer, we'll sing 711. 711, blessed be the tie that binds.
Thank you.
Let us go to our Lord in heaven in prayer. Dear Lord, we bow our heads. A collection of people who gather in your name to praise you in heaven and your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent to this earth to die for our sins. But through that salvation, we know that we are saved forever. And that's why we put our faith in you, dear God. We acknowledge your almighty being, your presence throughout this world. And with that acknowledgement, we pray for all the many events around the world, and we pray for our place right here at home. We know that the work that we do as Christians and that the love that we share amongst one another and the love, that common love that binds us all together, we know the strength and the power that that has to transform places throughout the world. This weekend we heard of events in Israel, and we know that people there are hurting, and it seems that things just come up again and that they keep going. And it's always salient for us to remember that that could, you know, could be our reality here too, but to know that that reality of war can come. But what we want to pray for is peace, peace that only you can give, and that many people will need to turn in prayer to know what that right thing is and to find the one true living God. I pray for our country. I pray that the leaders in this country speak with a consistent and a unified voice to bring us together, to bring many things that need to happen, because we have to realize that sometimes the world is a challenging place, and you told us that, God. You told us that right from the very beginning. A look into your book reveals that there will be struggles between mankind, and that we need to look within and to look among common brothers, to look among those people that call and truly worship in your name, to know that the right steps and the right moves to make. Dear Lord, we hope that you hear our prayers. We know that each day we as men and women, we are fallen and have our flaws, but we know that each day we do try to live our very best, and that's the confidence we should have and carry forth, and we hope that other people can see a light in the path that we walk, and that perhaps by your grace they would see us, they would see you in us. Dear Lord, we're just thankful for the harvest season that we just had, the many food that was reaped and the bounty that was given all over the country so that it may feed us through a winter. And we just acknowledge all the hard work that goes into that type of production and that type of living so that many others can share in that. Dear Lord, as we go into this week, please keep us close to you as we have to do the things we do, and let us know as we seek your guidance. We pray that we can do your will and that we may have that special message and that gleaning hope within us and the direction that only you can give from above. Dear Lord, we acknowledge and thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Before our scripture reading and Tim brings our lesson this morning, we'll sing together God's Family, hymn number 744. 744.
Thank you.
if you're marking in your songbook, our hymn of invitation will be 912. 912.
For those young children that want to go and be with the children's church, you have this opportunity now before I read the scriptures. And I'm going to read from Matthew 12, 46 through 50. While he was speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here is my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother."
Probably every one of us have said something this morning about the temperature. It is chilly outside, but it is October, so it's not surprising. Maybe after the last several warm days that we've had, it's a little bit of a shock, but here we are. But you know, this world can be a cold place too. And Earl alluded to that in his prayer this morning. This world can be a really cold place. But here we are gathered as God's people. We are together as family, and it is a very warm place. And you may argue with that depending on your body thermostat. That's not what I'm talking about, really. I'm talking about the warmth of love. And we know that because God has taught us that through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this world so that we might know what it is to love one another. And we're just so thankful that he did that. And we're grateful. We're grateful for salvation. Grateful for all the rich blessings that God has given us through Jesus Christ. And so we're glad to come together this morning as God's family and to be able to worship him, to put our focus on him for a while. And then later we'll turn our focus to one another and just warmly greet one another. But we're so glad you're with us today. This is a big day for us. It is our annual Family and Friends Day, our homecoming. And a lot of you took that seriously, and we're glad for that. We have a lot of visitors with us today, and thank you for coming to be with us. If you're visiting with us, we're really glad that you have come and hope to meet you. If we haven't already, greet you. And if you don't have to run off, we would urge you to stay and eat with us downstairs. We're going to have a big meal afterwards. And we'd love for you to join us. And if you're thinking, well, I didn't bring anything, from my past experience here, that's not a problem. There'll be plenty. And just to make sure there's plenty, I'm going to wait till the end of the line before I get my plate. So there will be plenty for you, and we urge you to stay and join us for that wonderful meal. But we're glad you are here. And glad for all of those who are joining us online. We're thankful that you are tuning in. Others will tune in later by recorded versions. We are now being watched at the prison in Mountain City and now at the annex for women at the Unicoi County Jail, we're happy to say. And so we're just grateful for all the opportunities that we have to spread God's word everywhere we can, and just so glad that you are here with us today. And of course, we're looking around, we're seeing several that we know from the past. And we're just so glad. And I hesitate to say anybody's name because somebody's going to say, "Well, why didn't you mention me?" And if you'll raise your hand when I'm through here, I'll say your name. But we can't pass the opportunity to say, "So good to see Mary and Mike Sheridan. They are so beloved
They moved away a few years ago to Roanoke, but now they're back today for a visit. Back, raise your hand back there, Mike, so everybody knows. Raise it up high, Mike. And they're here. They'll be here with us through the meal, but then I think they're hitting the road again. I got up early this morning to drive here, and we're just thankful they made the effort to come. And then also, very special from the past, Todd and Melanie Gay are here with us. Where are you folks? Right over here. They're raising their hands up. And their daughter, and I'm sorry, I've already forgotten.
Caitlin
is with us. Todd was at ETSU, was on the football team over there, and such a devoted worker, and he brought Melanie in, and well, we just love this couple, and so we're always glad to see them come back. And others of you as well, we're just so thankful you're here, so thankful. But we're here, of course, to worship God. I hope you got your Bible with you. If you don't have a printed version, maybe you've got an app on your phone or your tablet. But let's get into the Word together. And I want you to look at the passages with me. Don't ever take my word for anything, but take God's word for everything, because His word is true. It is always right. And by the way, this evening at 6 o'clock, we'll meet for worship. I wanted so badly to meet outside, but the temperature looks like it's going to be just below the threshold of comfort. So unless a lot of people prevail on me, we'll probably meet inside. But it's a beautiful day. Let's enjoy it. And I hope you'll come back and join us for worship this evening. But let's get into the Word of God now. It is not uncommon for me to get in the mail or by email invitations to join some kind of a club or a group. It may be something like Sam's Club, or it may be something like one of the fraternal groups in town. And those are pretty common. And what they're usually asking is, join us, and there may be a fee connected with that. And so that naturally raises the question, well, what's in it for me? Will there be any benefits if I pay that fee? Or if I make that commitment? Well, every time we gather here, we issue an invitation to anybody here. And that is, if you're not part of this family, this group, the church, we invite you to become a part of us. And you're going to hear that invitation today toward the end of the lesson, because we really think it's important that you be part of the church that Christ died for, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we get into this lesson. But you may be thinking, well, okay, that's a pretty big commitment, and if I understand correctly, that is a lifetime commitment. A lifetime commitment. Now, most earthly organizations, whether it's a commercial or social, you know, you can get in, you can get out, it's just whatever you want to do, but to commit to being a Christian, to being a part of the Lord's church, that is lifetime. Do I want to do that? Is there really anything in it for me? And so that's what we're talking about today as we celebrate Family and Friends Day, our homecoming. It's a good time to ask, what is in it for me? What are the benefits of being part of God's family? And whether you're on the outside looking in, or whether you're already a part of that family, I think it's important that we review these ideas together, all from God's Word, because that way we are more committed than ever to staying in that family. If I can see, wow, look at that, I'd forgotten that that was a blessing that I can enjoy right here and right now, then I can say, I'm going to be there. I'm going to make sure this is a priority for my life, all of my life. So let's look together about the blessings in God's family. Now, first of all, let's remind ourselves, because this is not something everybody knows, but Christ intends for us to see His church as a family. That's something Christ intends for us to do. Now, Amazon. Let's talk about that, because Amazon, you know, has really burst upon the scene in the last several years and has really taken over a commercial business, driven many businesses out of business. And one of the ways they've done that is through a group they call Prime. Now, Prime means that you have paid an annual fee. And that annual fee will give you a lot of benefits. And I happen to be a member of that because those benefits are significant in my mind. But it's not a family. I mean, the focus is, what will it do for me? I don't ever think, you know, how can I help Amazon? Like, Amazon needs my help. If I drop out of the picture, they're not going to notice that. It's all about me. That's what drives it. But the church, it's all about me and one another. And that's what we're going to really focus on. So let's go to a couple of passages to look at that idea. This is what Christ intended for us to see the church as, family. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, this is the passage that was read before us a few moments ago. Wren read it. And if you remember, Jesus' mother and his brothers came to call him out of a teaching situation he was in. Now, likely what was going on, the text doesn't say this, but other things kind of lead us in that direction. They've come to lead him away. The word has gotten out that Jesus is out of his mind. He's saying things that are just outlandish, some were saying, and he's just lost it. And so his family appear to be coming to take him away. Come on, you need to get away by yourself for a while. Let's go off on vacation. Let's take some time to cool off. That seems to me to be what's going on. But how does Jesus react to that? Well, listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 through 50. He replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Now, Jesus was not being irreverent by saying that. He wasn't saying, "I don't want them anymore." That's not what he's saying. But he goes on to make it clear. Verse 49, stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Now, why didn't he say father? Well, he only has one father, the Father in heaven. So all of us who are fathers are his brothers. But that's the idea. Jesus said, "These who follow me, this is my family." And if I'm a Christian today, I am, most of you are, that means we are his family. And if we are his family, we are family to one another as well. And that's really, really good news. Let's go to another passage in Matthew. This one in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to look at verse 29. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29. Jesus there says this. He'd been asked a question, "Lord, you know, we've left everything. What will we receive?" And he gives this answer in verse 29. "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." Now, what does that mean? Well, some people have to make a difficult decision to follow Christ. I didn't have to make this decision because my family were all very much favorable toward Christ and Christianity. I have a friend in India. When he became a Christian, his family declared him dead. He was raised Hindu. He chose to follow Christ. "You are no longer alive to us." Happily, he was able to bring them all to Christ eventually. But you see, that's the choice Jesus is talking about there. And he says, if that be the case, if you have to leave behind father, mother, sister, brother, children for my name's sake, you will receive 100-fold in this life. That means, here's my family. I love my biological family. I've been blessed with such a wonderful biological family. But you know what? I have such a greater spiritual family, and I love all of you and all of those I've known in the past and will come to know in the future. Jesus said, this is family. We're together. It's not just an organization. It's not an institution. It's family. And I like that a whole lot. Paul spoke about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. He was talking about the Gentiles. Most of his readers in Ephesus would be Gentiles. And in the past, they were left out of the covenant that God gave to Moses. But he says now in Christ Jesus, here's what he says. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Members of the household of God. And you'll find that some translations, and I'm going to give you an example, the New Century Version says it this way, you belong to God's family. That's what a household meant. The person's home, all that were connected with it, the children, the wives, the husbands, servants, you're part of that family now. And that's what we are in Christ. Christ wants us to look at one another as family. And so let's rejoice in that. You know, when I proposed marriage to Joyce, it was a big decision for her. Wasn't much of a decision for me. I was really gonna enjoy being her husband. But it was a big decision because she had to think, okay, what's gonna be in it for me? Will he really be the man I think he is now? Will he really follow through on the things I have promised to be for her in the future? And it was something she had to contemplate very carefully, and I'm happy she came up with the answer she did. But in the church, it's a far greater commitment, far greater, because we are pledging everything to Jesus Christ, everything we are, everything we have, everything. Now, is it really going to be worth it? And of course, that's where we're headed now. Now that we know Christ wants us to be family, let's talk about some of those blessings that we find in God's family. Now, of course, a thorough study of this topic, we don't have time to do that. We could go a long time talking about various things the Bible teaches, but I've got five ideas. I'm going to go through them very quickly, but all of these, I think you will agree, these are significant. These are things that I want, these are things I need, and so let's look at those blessings in being part of God's family. Let's talk first of all about the blessing of belonging. The blessing of belonging. There's a man we worked in the prison, and I won't mention names, of course, but he told us that at a very early age, he left home for his own safety. He left home, and he was homeless virtually almost all of his boyhood. And he talked about, you know, living by just scraping whatever he could, you know, going through garbage cans, dumpsters, hiding in places. And he said, you know, sometimes I would look at houses at night, and I would see the lights on inside, and I thought, why can't I have that? We take that so for granted. We have that in God's family. We belong. The door is always open for us. And let me show you where I find that in the Word of God. Luke chapter 15, verse 32. Here, of course, you know, I'm probably talking about the parable of the prodigal son. This young son, he said, I'm done with this. I want to get out on my own. He took his portion of the inheritance, went and blew it pretty quickly, and he was down. I mean, he was out of resources, out of friends. He was down to living with the hogs. That's the only job he could find. So disgraceful for a Jew to do anything like that, and yet that was all he could find. And still he was starving. And so he said, I'm gonna go home to my father, and maybe he'll hire me back as a day laborer. And the father came running and grabbed him and welcomed him. He said, let's have a party and celebrate the son's return. But the older son came back and he said, what's going on? I hear a party going on. And they told him what was going on. The older son was not happy. He said, I have stayed right here doing what I should have done, and you've welcomed this guy back. Listen to what the father says in Luke 15, verse 32. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Do you hear what that father is saying in essence? He still belongs. He may have left for a while, but he's back and he still has a place at the table. He still has a place in my heart. He belongs in this family, regardless of what the older brother may think, regardless of what anybody may think. You know, sometimes we run into that attitude of the older brother. People say, oh, we shouldn't welcome that person. We shouldn't be happy to see them. Is Christ happy to see them? He died for them? Then yes, they belong. And so if I'm part of that family, I belong in this family. Think about what Paul wrote in Romans 15 and verse 7. Romans 15 and verse 7, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Welcome there means more than just saying, hey, good to see you. It means it's really good to see you. Let me shake your hand. Let me give you a hug. Let me, you know, whatever it is that's appropriate, I am so glad you are here and a part of this family. So in God's family, we're given that. That's a blessing. We belong, and that is not to be underestimated. Secondly, let's talk about another blessing of being in God's family, and that is the blessing of provision. The blessing of provision. Now, you know that if adults who are in charge of raising children do not provide adequately for those children, they're going to get in trouble with the law. And I'm thankful we live in a society that has laws like that. You've got to provide for them. You've got to feed them. You've got to give them adequate clothing. You've got to give them a shelter to live in that's habitable. You know, you've got to do that. You have to provide in God's family. We have that. We are blessed with abundant provision. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. You probably know this verse. We talk about it quite often. Paul wrote, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith, to those who are of the family of faith. Now you may be thinking, well, that's talking about Christians doing good things for others. That's right. That's how Christ has ordained that we are to be provided for. He says, you're my people. You provide for them. You remember when they said, you know, these people are hungry. Send them away, Jesus. And Jesus said, you feed them. And they said, what? There's thousands of people here. And Jesus said, you feed them. And although they thought there was no way, Jesus miraculously multiplied the little bit that they had and provided for everyone. And you not think he can do that still? Maybe not in that miraculous manner that he did on that occasion. But if we take seriously the charge of doing good for one another, especially of the household of faith, God can do amazing things through his people. That's how he provides for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. Here Paul was talking about an effort to collect funds for the people of Judea. There was going to be a great famine all over the world. And we're going to show them that we care about them by collecting this money in advance. And Paul says this about what they were about to do. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12. For the ministry of this service, the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. It's overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. And so there you see the idea is, again, it's God's people that are doing the work outwardly, but why are we doing it? Because it's his will. Because this is what he has taught us to do. And we are supplying the needs of the saints. That's provision. And it's resulting in thanksgivings to God. It glorifies him when his people do these things. So what is the blessing of being in the family of God? Provision. Let's talk about a third one. Protection. Protection. The blessing of protection. In a family, we have people that will stand by us, especially in hard times. Maybe we've been threatened in one way or another. And the family says, well, let me help you. Let me stand by you and do what I can to fend off this problem that's coming up. Well, in Christ's family, we absolutely have that protection. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 is a good place to see this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter may have been thinking of the fact that Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. I've laid down my life for the sheep. He stands between us and the enemy. He protects us. And Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. What kind of trial do you have? I may never have had that kind of trial, but I've got one you may never have had. They come in all shapes and sizes and colors. But God can help us through all of them. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. And again, God's people are involved in that. Let me show you what I mean by that. Go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, we're going to read verse 5 in a moment. Here we find the situation looks very grim for Peter. Herod, the king, has already put to death James, the apostle. And he now has arrested Peter. He's got him in maximum security. He's not going anywhere. Tomorrow we're going to bring him out and also execute him. And that'll really make the people happy, Herod thought. And yet, that wasn't what happened. God released Peter that night. An angel came, led him out. The shackles just fell off his hands and feet. Gates miraculously opened for him. And he went to the house of Mary. And what were they doing at the house of Mary? Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And does that mean the people were protecting Peter? In a way, they were. Because they were making earnest prayer, Lord, please deliver our brother Peter. Help him in this trial. And do you think those prayers had any effect on what God did? I think it's obvious, because right after that is where we read about the miraculous rescue of Peter by the angel. And so praying for one another, that's our part in protection. You're going through some terrible health event. You're facing some really extreme financial emergency or some other kind of trial. Let's pray together. Let's pray for one another. And we're going to find that God will respond to those prayers often in the way that we ask, sometimes not. But God knows best in every situation. So there's the blessing of protection. Let's talk about a fourth blessing of being in the family of God, and that is the blessing of mutual encouragement. The blessing of mutual encouragement. We all have our times of depression or stress or discouragement. We all do. So what do we do about it? We're tempted to just go in our room, close the door, take the phone off the hook. That may not register with a lot of you what that means, but it just means you don't answer your phone anymore. But the point is, we don't want to be around anybody, but in the church, in the family, we get that encouragement. We get that mutual encouragement. And that is by God's design. It's so helpful. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And some of you may already be thinking, oh no, there's that passage where they hammer on us about coming to church. Look at the bigger picture. Look at the bigger picture about why we need to be together like we are right now. Here's what he says in Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 24. Let us consider one another, how to stir up one another to love and good works. In other words, I'm thinking about you. I see you're going through a difficult time. I can tell by your body language that you're going through a difficult time. How can I stir them up to love and to greater activity in the church, where they'll find even greater help? And then he goes on in verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the idea is we come together, why? Not just to check off our duty and our obligation. It's because there's people here that need my encouragement, and there are people that can encourage me. I never leave the assembly without feeling pumped. I mean, I really don't. Seeing you, talking with you, hearing about what's going on in your life, that just pumps me up. And that's the way God wants it to be. We encourage one another. And also while we're talking about that, look at Proverbs 18, verse 24. The idea of mutual encouragement, Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Here is a well-known proverb, I think. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Ultimately, I think it's talking about Christ, but I think it's bigger than that. I think it also means there are people in my family who will stick closer than a biological brother or sister. I have found that to be the case. Now, my biological siblings, I love them. They've always been there for me. But I have found those in the church who have just been amazing. And they're near. They're right here. That's not always been the case with my siblings. But I need that. And I suspect you need that encouragement as well now and then. Well, here it is. Take advantage of it. It's one of those benefits like Prime. Oh, you've not been using this benefit? Here it is. Enjoy it. And when you need that encouragement, the place to be is with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then let's talk about one more blessing of being in the family of God, and that is the blessing of rescue. The blessing of rescue. When I go out hiking, especially as I get older, I make sure that somebody knows where I'm going to go and when I expect to be home. Why do I do that? Because it may be that I could get lost, or I could fall and be injured and not able to get myself out. And I'm thinking, maybe they'll want to come look for me. And I think they would. But you know, in the church, people sometimes get lost. We get caught up in the world. We get pulled off the path. We need somebody to come after us. Will somebody come after us? Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. This is one of your benefits if you're part of the family of God. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, just give up on them and move on. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what it says, is it? No, that's not what it says. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself too, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That means if I notice you're really struggling, and maybe I've not seen you in a while, maybe in just a couple of Sundays, I've not seen you. I need to ask. And sometimes we think, well, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to intrude. What if they need us to intrude? What if they need us to come looking on the trails? Where are you? We're not seeing you. That's family. It's a benefit of being part of God's family is that when I happen to be the one that is lost, somebody is supposed to come looking for me. And if I'm the one that is not lost, but others are, then I'm the one that needs to go looking and do whatever it is I can to restore them. So there's so many blessings in being part of God's family. But what if you're not part of that family? What if right now you have not obeyed the gospel? You have not come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then here's good news. Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 through 14. Matthew 18, 12 through 14. These are Jesus' words. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It's not God's will that you perish. That's why Jesus came to this earth. Not only to go out looking for you, but to die for you. We're going to be observing the Lord's Supper very shortly, because that honors Jesus for what he did on the cross for our sins. And that's a benefit you can enjoy. If you're on the outside of God's family, you're not a part of it, then this is your opportunity to say, could I get in? And of course, we want you to. We'd love that to happen. And if you're ready to confess, I believe in Jesus as God's Son, if you're ready to turn away from sin by repenting of it and determining that's not my life anymore, if you're ready to put on Christ in the act of baptism, which washes away your sins, puts you in Christ, makes you part of God's family, then we'd love to help you make that happen this morning. And if you've done those things, and yet for some reason the world has just caught your attention and you've been pulled back out of the family by your sins, your deliberate sins, then you need to come home now, repenting of those sins, praying for forgiveness, and we'll pray with you. We'll do everything we can to encourage you, but if we can help you in any way, come as we stand together and sing.
Please be seated. Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we'll sing together hymn number 701, 701, My Jesus, I Love Thee. My Jesus,
As we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together and we look back on, reflect on Christ's death on the cross, and as we proclaim that death, I want to share a passage of Scripture that I feel really describes the spiritual state we are in because of that sacrifice and some of a few of the blessings that are made available to us because of that sacrifice. And it starts in Romans chapter 4, verse 22. It reads, "That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words 'it was counted to him' were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been forgiven for us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." A state of sin and death to a state of righteousness. Fearing God's wrath to knowing his peace. Being able to stand in his grace. Rejoicing in a sure hope of salvation, of eternal life. And experiencing an outpouring of love. All of that is found only through Christ and only because of his sacrifice. Let's give thanks for the bread. Dear Father in heaven, as we take this bread that represents your son's body, we are so thankful that you know our hearts and our minds, because words fall short of how thankful and grateful we are that we have a Savior that was willing to endure what he did on the cross. Going to the cross, taking that great burden and debt from us, for our sake, for sinners. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Cup that represents your son's blood that was spilled on the cross. It was your son's innocent blood that frees us from sin, that gives us life, that allows the countless blessings to flow through him onto us that we enjoy. Dear Lord, we are so grateful for that, and we worship you and we praise you for that sacrifice. And it's the same blood that gives us the hope that as a family we will not just worship and praise you here on earth, but for all eternity. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. And let us give thanks for the offering. Dear Lord, we come before you now and thank you so much for all that you have given us. Spiritual blessings, material blessings. We are so thankful that we live in a time where we are able to work, we are able to provide for our families, and Lord, we know that all this is through you and from you. And dear Lord, we pray that as we now give back a portion of that you bless this offering and that it can be used to help those in need in our community, whether food or clothing. And dear Lord, we pray that all the ministries that are being done in your name here, that this blessing will enable us to be more effective with those ministries and those doors that you have opened to us. And dear Lord, we pray that we will be able to take your word and the gospel to those people who are in desperate need of it. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray once again. Our Holy Father, it's been so good for us to be here, to be encouraged and and reminded of how we are a family in you. And since we are a family in you, we know we're not alone. We know we are loved and cherished and cared for. We know that our value is affirmed and we are supported because we are a part of this family of faith that has submitted to a love that is the greatest love the world has ever known, the love of your Son Jesus through his sacrifice. And so, Father, we pray that we will live lives that reflect our gratitude toward the blessing that you have offered us. Father, we're thankful for Gene and for his request for prayer. And Father, we ask you to give him strength and courage. Father, please help him to know that he is forgiven and that he can have the burden taken away of guilt so that he can have confidence that he is now right in you again. And Father, I pray that this confidence will be such that it will encourage him to abstain from sin, but not only abstain from sin, but look for opportunities to do good in service to you. Father, we are thankful for Tom and Jacqueline, and we pray for them. We know that his health challenges have presented a burden and a stress for both of them. And we ask, Father, that they find peace in you. Of course, we ask that his health is through your guidance to be made as good as it possibly can be. But more than anything, Father, we pray that confidence in you and your love and your care and your peace is going to be so great that you will be glorified in their struggle. Father, we all need you, and we ask your blessings on all of us through our difficulties. Father, as we are about to share a meal together, we want you to know that we are very grateful. We know that it is your provision, and so we pledge to you that as we share this meal together, that you are in our hearts just as we are with each other. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We do have these announcements before we go and enjoy the food together. Please pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium. Next Sunday is the last day of the gift card shower for Daniel Norris and Sage Erickson. They would appreciate gift cards from Amazon, Target, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, or Ace Hardware. There will be a wedding shower for John Trent and Autumn Johnson on Sunday, October the 22nd, from 1:30 to 3 p.m. in the new foyer. The couple is registered at Amazon.com and Amazon.com and Crate and Barrel. Join us on October the 15th after evening worship services to bid a fond farewell to Harrison, Sherilyn, and Ella Rose Morgan, who will be moving at the end of the month out of our area. Sherilyn is in need of help as they pack their household items for their move on October the 27th. If you can help watch Ella Rose or help pack, please let Sherilyn or Harrison know. David Frakes will have the photo study open today if you need to get your family picture updated in the directory. After today, photos will be taken on an appointment basis. So go to the room beside the upstairs elevator doors, and that's where he will be. We have these upcoming events at Central. The first is somewhat of a change. Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion Group will be today, but only on Zoom. It will not meet in person, and it will be from 4 to 5:30 p.m. The Retired Men's Breakfast is Tuesday, October the 10th at 9 a.m. Please sign the list if you plan to attend. Central's Redbirds will meet at Longhorn Steakhouse on Tuesday, October the 10th at 11 a.m. And the Dorcas Group will meet on Wednesday, October the 11th at 1 p.m. So there's a lot of activities taking place. For the fellowship meal, after this morning's worship, all visitors and families and former members are invited to go first through the line. Also, all parents, please help your children get through the line with your guidance. Now we have four who are on our prayer list. John Bannister made me aware this morning of Sarah Russell, who is an inmate in Unicoi County. She received information this morning that her mother's house has burned down, and she's upset about it and would appreciate our prayers on her behalf and for her mother. Junior Jones, who is the father of Corin White, remains hospitalized in Florida after heart valve repair last week. He has not yet been able to be removed from the ventilator, and fluid buildup is a problem. Corin asks for our prayers. Jim Carden is scheduled to undergo outpatient surgery tomorrow. He and Sherry have requested our prayers for all to go well. Also, Ted Mowry remains hospitalized after being diagnosed with an infection in his gallbladder. He is doing better, but prayers continue to be needed. This morning, I leave you with 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, let's go enjoy a meal together.